Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
We're at Rough Trade East. It's Record Store Day 2024. I'm Sam from Dog Unit. This is Lucy from Dog Unit.
And this is 101 Part-Time Jobs.
Yeah, Dog Unit, 101 Part-Time Jobs, Record Store Day at Rough Trade. I spoke to Sam and Lucy of the band on Saturday. I've been really enjoying their record At Home. It's one of those ones where you get half an hour into it and you wonder where the time's gone, and it's just been a really nice time. So I recommend At Home by Dog Unit. Thanks to Rough Trade for having us. They've still got a bunch of stock left over from the big day, so if there's something you had your eye on, head to Rough Trade and go pick it up. All right, from Dog Unit, here's Sam and Lucy. We're at Dog Unit, Record Store Day, Rough Trade East, 101 Part-Time Jobs, Lucy and Sam.
Hello. nice to be with you.
What are your memories of Record Store Day?
I actually have quite a strong memory of Record Store Day from years ago, and it was when Blur first reformed and Pure Groove in Clerkenwell. Do you remember that shop? It's brilliant. It's long gone. Just round the corner from Fabric. They were giving away a copy of the 7-inch that Blur had just released, and there were only like 100 of them.
Great.
And in order to do it, you had to answer a 20-question quiz about Blur. And I got 20 out of 20 because I'm a massive nerd.
Yes! Do you remember how deep the questions were?
Yeah, they went pretty deep. The one that won it for me was who sung the backing vocals on To The End. It's Letitia Sadier from Stereolab.
I did not know that. All right.
This is good.
There you go.
This is good stuff. I mean, that Record Store Day's evolved over the years.
Yeah,
it's bigger. More people are invited to it. More people know about it.
I think it's pretty great to, like, just walking through the doors at Rough Trade East here, which is where we are, just seeing the sheer numbers of people and seeing them all kind of looking through the racks, browsing, probably, you know, I'm sure some people came with an intention of buying an exclusive, rumours or whatever it is, but maybe they'll find, you know, a Dog Unit album, or maybe they'll find something that they hadn't thought about or heard of before. And so ultimately, you know, the place is heaving right now, which is brilliant, and hopefully loads of other smaller record stores around the country are heaving at the moment too. And it's great for us walking in here and kind of getting the opportunity to play too. So, you know,
And it brings people together. I think after COVID and how much isolation there still is, you know, anything that can bring people together and share a music experience, that's it. It's kind of quite simple, isn't it?
Absolutely right. And also bringing people together, but discovering something new too. And so, I mean, even for us, like, we just saw Blue Lab Beats playing, and I've been hearing about them, haven't listened to them. They're great. They're really great. So, you know, hopefully we'll hear a few more like that as well. And hopefully that's what everybody's experience will be.
Where do you find out about new music?
I'm still quite old school. I still read reviews. And I'm in a group chat with some music fans, and we're always recommending things to one another. I think actually record shops are quite good for recommending stuff. The way you can walk in somewhere and just sort of randomly browse and find something is that's a way to find it.
And it's a good tip to ask questions as well, because it can be intimidating walking into a record store, especially if you're on your own and it's a Saturday morning and you know the people behind the desk are rushed off their feet. To go up and say, "What do you recommend for me?" is like quite a hard thing to do, but it's worth doing, because you'll always get good recommendations.
I was in here a couple of months ago with a friend of mine who's 18 and he's obsessed with music, and he basically wants a record collection, and he's got very particular taste. And he walked in here, and the guy who behind the counter was so good. And he was like, "Okay, what are you into? What do you like?" And then he reeled off like three albums, and he was like, "Right, wait a second." And it was like watching some sort of master tradesman. My mate walks out with like £100 worth of records. Right. And it's really, when you get people who really know what they're talking about behind the counter of a record shop, I think that's a lovely thing as well.
And you've worked at a record store, talking about 101 part-time jobs.
Ooh, yeah. I worked at the R-Price in Muswell Hill and Crouch End.
Excellent.
Depending on which ones needed me. Where did you work, Liz?
Well, I worked at Harem Records, as was in Crouch End in North London. I had a job, very brief career. I think it might have lasted a day at Record and Tape Music Exchange.
Okay. Isn't the entrance test to get into there pretty rigorous?
It was, and I got in, and then I didn't last. I got in and I got out again.
What happened? Yeah, I've got to ask.
I can't remember. It was a very long time ago. I probably was just a bit shit with the till.
They are tricky.
Probably about the size of it.
I'm always so impressed when people work at record stores, because it is a extra. I mean, you've got to know a lot. You've got to really kind of put everything towards it. You know, I think for lots of people, music is a hobby. But then it kind of blurs the lines, doesn't it? You're like, well, I spend all my money going to gigs. I spend all my money on records, on T-shirts, on the experiences. I like the way that music can really kind of creep into our lives as basically a primary reason to function.
Yeah, definitely. And also, that does make me think. I mean, I really enjoyed those questions, those people who would come into record stores and say, "What's new?" Yeah. And that's really nice. And that's the beginnings of a really interesting conversation. That's not something that streaming platforms, you know, you get recommendations based on what you already listen to, and so actually your sphere gets smaller and smaller, and it's harder to discover something new, because it's just all much of a muchness in the end. So having a person just say, "Oh, have you thought about this? Try this. I love this, you might like it," is really important and really
nice. There's always something out there. There's always something. That's kind of the most wonderful thing about music, is that you take yourself by surprise.
I used to have a list of the records I wanted to buy. And it was when I was a lot younger. And I used to just write something down when I read a good review of it or something like this. And I gave up keeping it because it got to literally like 1,000 records long. And this was before streaming came along properly. And
you had to have deep pockets as a teenager.
Well, you did, didn't you? Yeah. Although I feel like it was a bit cheaper then.
Well, someone mentioned the other day that a CD in HMV in 2001 was
like 17 quid.
Well, I think it was like between 12 and 17. Yeah. I think the median price is about 15, even back then.
But the thing was, I'm going to get nerdy about this, new releases were relatively cheap, and the things that were expensive was the catalogue. And so you would walk into Our Price, and you could buy a new release. You could buy the new Embrace record, not to use them as just an example of Flash in the Pan. Quite fond of the first Embrace record. And that would be £12. But like Revolver or Sergeant Pepper was like 18 or 19. And when you only had a small amount of pocket money, you always basically wanted to get the new release. And so I've got this really weird sort of CD collection that's all 90s stuff. And virtually, I don't know masses about old music because I don't really listen to it, because you couldn't.
Box sets are a sign of wealth.
Yes, right? That's a massive financial flex, isn't it? A box set.
That's upper middle class. Being a band now, so many people are working. I mean, most people in bands are working jobs. Mm. As people who are not 18 or like living at home, or, you know, as adults,
yeah.
How have you found playing in a band and balancing paying rent, having time for yourself and your pals and your partners, and wanting, you know, being able to practice dedicating yourself to the music?
I guess we've got, you know, we've kind of come into playing in Dog Unit, playing together with not really any expectations. So we've come into it without wanting to sound sort of corny, but like with just wanting to play and see where it takes us. And that is exactly what we're doing. And it is tough, you know, having a job. You know, some of us are full-time, not all of us are full-time, but we've got jobs, we've got partners. Henry's got a young child. It's like there's lots of things to navigate, but at the same time, it kind of makes you pretty organised and makes you quite focused too.
Sometimes you need that.
Yeah, and you know, just probably gone are the days when, you know, you kind of put everything into all your eggs in one basket. Really, not a lot of people are lucky enough to be able to do that. All of us have got like different things going on. So, and the band is, you know, the band is one of them for us, but really important at the moment as well, especially. So
I think there's a lot of compassion. I think things like this are a bit more transparent. Mm. You know, when you're reading a feature about a band in a newspaper, usually it's got a few lines of working alongside it, and it's kind of becoming more and more public knowledge. And I think there is more compassion and empathy that this is how bands operate. And actually, I think it has that effect of bringing listeners closer to the artist. Because there's an understanding there. And when you go see that band live, it's like, cool, this is a special occasion.
To a degree, it breaks down the divide between the audience and the band as well, because we played a gig on Thursday night to 200 odd people in the Lexington who all had jobs and are all working on Friday morning. And so did we. And it's not like we're going to, you know, you need to be proper, like, upper echelon, as you say now. You need to be really doing well to be then doing it full time. And yeah, maybe it keeps you honest. I think the other nice thing about it is that with limited time, it makes us really focused. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we recorded the whole of At Home in 4 weekends. We did a track a day, basically. And we knew we had to do a track a day because we didn't have the time to do it any other way. And that really keeps you focused, and it stops bloat, and it makes you concise and, you know, no messing. I mean, I'm saying this as someone in an instrumental band whose average song length is like 8 minutes. So you know what I mean. But it does keep you, yeah. It keeps you honest, I think.
Being late for sound check, missing work, being told off by bosses. That's kind of become sort of routine, doesn't it? You expect it.
I mean, I'm self-employed, so
hack.
I am my own boss. My only memory of a really memorable part-time job was one summer when I was in sixth form. I got a job working for a very large multinational bank that I shan't name, who, it was the summer before the Freedom of Information Act became law, and I got taken to their headquarters in Canary Wharf and was put in a room, locked in a room each day, and told to shred all this information.
Wow.
And it was so horrible, because it was this windowless, airless room in a basement with about 12,000 sheets of paper and a single shredder. And I listened.
Did you get any sneak peeks?
I listened to. It was meaningless to me. But every now and again, you'd see something with a logo from like a famous logo, and then you'd read it. And go, but it was.
But you're listening to music.
But I listened to so much music that
best
summer.
Kind of job.
And it was brilliant. Yeah. It was the summer of the Strokes. And yes. I listened to that. Is This It? And there was a few other bands.
White Stripes.
Yeah, White Stripes. And also Yeah, there was a Björk album that came out that summer as well. And it was also Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea.
Yeah, yeah.
That era.
2001.
Yeah, that's right. And it was just like, absolutely hammered those records. And it was all on CD. It wasn't like just put it on a list. So every sort of 45 minutes, you had to go and think about what you're listening to next. It was great.
Brilliant. So that Lucy?
Well, coincidentally, or maybe not, my worst job is also bank related. And I worked in a call centre for a major high street bank. And I was in the debt collections department. Ooh. Yeah, so I was sort of, technically I was a debt collector so at sad. One point in my career. It was pretty diabolical. I got through the 6 weeks of training and then 1 week on the job. Actually, this is a theme, isn't it? And then I left. I've been in my current position for a while. I had to find my feet, you know. And yeah, it was a pretty terrible job.
I think it's good to find out what you don't like.
Definitely. That's what your 20s are for, I reckon.
Right, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So there was Sam and Lucy. At Home is just such a wonderful record. I really highly recommend go putting that on. Thanks for listening. And we got a couple more that we recorded on Saturday. We've got Miles Kane and Juno Dream coming up. We've already had two, one from Divorce and one from Kate Stables from This Is The Kit. If you want to get notified as and when these episodes come out, click subscribe. We're also on Instagram, 101 Part-Time Jobs Pod, and TikTok, and also YouTube. So you can follow us there for these interviews in video form.